I have a mind to speak on reconciliation today. But I would like to start reading out at the beginning of chapter 5 and kind of lay a little groundwork, understand what some of the principles are that Paul's laying down. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. That's a mouthful, and that's a sermon full that I read. The Apostle Paul first starts it out talking about being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And that's really what's under consideration, is peace with God. Now, he talks about this in the sense of reconciliation, that we have peace with God when we, by faith, act on what God has already done to us. Now, what that does not say is that God has peace with you when you're justified and when you act on your faith. Y'all understand that God, and this is the zero point. Y'all know what I mean by that. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And I'm going to tell you what the main thing is. The main thing is that God is the first great cause and last great end. That is the main thing. You cannot exercise faith unless it's been given to you. You cannot, and how do you get faith? Well, you have to be born of the Spirit. How do you get born of the Spirit? Well, God does that. How do I know that faith comes when you're born again? Is because the Bible tells us that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It is one of the sevenfold fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Now, if we look at that, God is the... This is what separates people when they begin to look at Bible doctrines, or they look at their theology, their doctrines that they preach or think. That God is either the great first great cause, or He is not. Y'all got that? Let that sink into you. Did the earth decide to create itself? No, it did not. It wasn't even here. Right? Before God said, let there be light, and then what happened? There was light. And He spoke the world into existence, whereas before it was without form and void. So God is the first great cause in the natural creation, and He so also is in the new creation, the spiritual creation of man. When He says, let there be light, there is light in your soul. It's kind of simple that way. Now, God being the first great cause, it produces an effect. We all know about cause and effect. And I had a boy one time at school, and he looked up at me and he said, Mr. Paul, if I fall down off my bike, it's going to hurt. And I was like, yep, it is. That's true. That is a simple way to describe cause and effect. If I fall off my bike, it's going to hurt. And so we've got man falling from the relationship that he had with God, and it hurt. It not only hurt him, it hurt you, and it hurt me, didn't it? It hurt so bad that he was unable to talk with God in the same manner. His relationship with God, in that way that he had before the fall, ceased to exist. Now, there still was a relationship, but it was an aggrieved relationship. It was an estranged relationship. Man was estranged from God because he did not keep his first estate. It hurt a lot when we fail. It hurt a lot. So you see, cause and effect. The cause of Adam falling was his deception and his own natural thing. And he fell. God didn't make him fall, but he fell of his own accord, right? Of course, God knew that he was going to fall, but he didn't cause him to do so. He fell on his own. So the effect was what? The lost relationship with God. Have you ever had a friend, or at least an acquaintance, that the ties of and bonds of friendship were severed? Have you ever had that? I have. I've had friendships severed, and they never have been reconciled. Y'all understand what that means? The friendship bond has not been reconnected or reestablished. We remain estranged from one another. That means we're still mad at each other. Or at least one party is mad at the other one. I may be mad at them, they may be mad at me. Reconciliation has not happened. How does man become reconciled to God? How does that relationship get restored? When you have a broken relationship with someone, what does it first take? What does it take? When you have a broken relationship, if both parties remain in their corner of belief or understanding, you know, if I got mad at Chuck because I wanted to do things one way and he wanted to do them another, and we never did, and one party never did make it right, would we ever be reconciled? No, if I'm on this corner and he's on this corner, we're not going to be reconciled. What does it take to be reconciled? It takes one party, at least, to start that reconciliation. But for natural relationships, it takes more than that, doesn't it? It takes both. I've got someone in my mind that I'm thinking about from a long time ago. I went and asked forgiveness twice, and it was never granted. From my perspective, the relationship is restored. From theirs, it is not. For reconciliation to happen naturally, it takes both parties, doesn't it? How many marriages end up in separation? And one party doesn't want it to be that way, but you can't get the other party to get there with them, right? That happens all the time. Where one party, it hurts them so bad because the bond is broken and the other one, it doesn't seem to bother. And they go their way. One in great lamenting and pain because the other one is gone and that there's no reconciliation there. Nothing that they could do though they try and try and try can they get the other party to reconcile. You have friends that are that are going through this right now. I have friends that are going through it right now. In marriages or broken ones. Reconciliation. What does it take? It takes both parties coming together, started by one, to make it right. Now, what does this mean for us spiritually? I want us to think about these parties. We talked about Jesus Christ being the mediator. How he represented both parties. With one hand on the heavens and one hand on the earth. He satisfied the wrath of God. Our daysman stood for us. That's how the song says. Paul says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Why were they ungodly? It's because they're sinners. It's because they had no willingness nor ability or preference to move towards God to make it right. Right? They had no reason to love a God when they had no love in their hearts. The natural man cares not, receives not the things of God because they're foolishness unto him. That depraved, ungodly, self-loving, God-hating man will not move towards God to make it right. He doesn't even really understand that something's wrong. He doesn't know that there was a relationship and he doesn't desire there to be one. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. He talks about the unbelievable, astounding accomplishment that Christ did. He says that in life, in natural life, by natural men, there may be some that would die for a righteous man. Says scarcely. So not all that often. And perhaps for a good man, some would dare to do it. To die for him. He says, "But God commendeth His love towards us." You see that? We didn't come towards God. God came towards us. His love, He commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, we didn't get good and then He died for us. We didn't get good and then He represented us. We didn't get good and then He applied it to us. We were sinners and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do y'all see how remarkable that is? What did it take for God, the aggrieved party, and aggrieved very heavily? Because He can't look on sin. He can't even look on it. He don't want to hear about it. He don't want to read about it. He can't even look on it. And yet, if we look at what it takes for us to put down our pride, to be reconciled with someone, do you know how hard it is to say, "I'm sorry," and to swallow your pride? I know you know how, I hope you know how hard it is, because I hope you've done it. You got it? I hope you've done it to swallow your pride. I done it today. It's hard to taste. It's bitter. It's bitter to taste, ain't it? When you swallow your pride, you know how hard it was for me to go to that person that I was talking about earlier and say I'm sorry? Because I didn't think I did anything wrong. But I said I'm sorry. You know how hard that was? That's just how hard it was for me. Now, Christ didn't have to say I'm sorry. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about the lengths to which God went to reconcile you to Him. A holy God that can't even look on sin. He can't even look on it. And yet, He sent His Son to be made to be sin for us. Can you imagine what He had to undergo? He knew not sin. And He died on the cross. And He took your sins and mine and all the sins of all His people all within 3 hours to make reconciliation for you. To reconcile the breach that separated you and God, poured out on Him for 3 hours. You know, God did to Christ what He would not do to you. Christ suffered. When we say Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, we lay it out. Don't you hear people say it all the time? But I think we forget sometimes the magnitude of what that means. Christ died on the cross for my sins. Hallelujah, that is true. But do you know that God exacted His justice and His wrath upon His only begotten Son because He would not do it to you? And yet He did it to His Son. That amazes me. He would not exact the justice on you because that would have annihilated you and sent you to an everlasting burning hell. You see, because you had nothing to pay. You had no idea about being reconciled. You had no want to be reconciled. You had no ability to move towards God. Yea, our natural ability is to run away from Him. And yet He sent His Son while we were yet sinners to die for the ungodly. Paul says, much more then. That's good enough. That'd be good enough. He says, much more then, being now justified by His blood. You see, that's a different justice, isn't it? That's a different justifying, isn't it? It's the justice that comes from being declared a son and being made right in His eyes by His blood. He says, Paul says, this is a process, Paul says, being now justified by His blood. That's different than being justified by faith, isn't it? What Paul is saying, that being now justified by His blood, that God has peace with us. God has peace with us first. God makes peace between. He satisfied His wrath in His Son. It was the only payment that could be paid for that debt. He had the only currency that could be paid for that debt. And Paul says, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. You see that? It didn't say that we reconciled ourselves to God. It says we were reconciled to God by what? By our will? By our faith? By our blood? By our meaningless ability? Our weakness? No. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, here it is, much more being reconciled. Where is that? That puts you in a good spot now, don't it? That means that God has reconciled you. God has reconciled you. If you feel like there is that you have a warp towards God, that He has a holy law that needs to be satisfied, that and you feel like you want to please Him, then you can rest assured that His Son has reconciled you. Amen. That sounds good to me. But we're not done yet. He says, for if we were, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. There is a salvation that comes after God reconciled you. Y'all get that? He says, we shall be saved by His life. There is a salvation that occurs to you after God reconciled you to Himself. After God made it right from His perspective, there's something that you need to do to make that salvation possible, or to enjoy the blessings of that salvation. Y'all get that? God knows. You're God's child if He reconciled you. Do y'all understand that? God didn't just make salvation possible. Let me say that clearly. God did not make salvation possible. He procured salvation. He didn't make reconciliation possible. He reconciled you. He didn't make justification possible. He justified you. He didn't make glorification possible. He glorified you. Y'all get that? God did His part. God did everything necessary for you to be justified. He did everything necessary for you to be reconciled. He did everything necessary to reconcile, to justify, and to glorify you in His sight. In His sight. In His sight. Whose sight then remains unreconciled or unjustified or unglorified? Whose sight remains? Was mine and is yours. Right? If I can see it, You know what we're still talking about? Reading your title clear. we're still talking about that. I got a home in glory. God knows it. He gives me the faith to know what He already knows. Do you know it? Do you know that it's free and clear? Then you know something God already knows. Amen? Hallelujah. Does God's knowledge begin when yours does? No. No way. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Do you know what that atonement there means, that word? It means reconciliation. It means at one meant. Jesus was the atonement. Okay? There's a big... Do a word study on that. At one meant. You know what that... That's an accounting term. You know, reconciliation really is an accounting term. How many of y'all have a bank account? I got one. It's pretty scant, but it has been really scant in the past. So much so that I've been overdrawn and didn't know it. You know, I was so bad back when I was in college and after Sonia and I got married, I was bad about writing a check and not writing it down. She's shaking her head, yes, she remembers. And so that's why I don't have a checkbook now. I don't get to write in it because I can't keep up with it all that good. Reconciliation is an accounting term. And I would constantly have to be calling the bank and seeing what my balance was. You know, to really get the real number, you have to call the bank. I mean, I thought maybe that I had $10 in there, but really I found out I didn't have nothing. Or was overdrawn. And do y'all know that banks are real good at math? I mean, they don't make mistakes very much. I mean, you might catch one every now and then. But most of the time, when you call them to see about your checkbook, they don't alter their balance based on what you got. You alter your checkbook based on what the bank says, right? And so what happens is they said, nope, you've got this amount. And you reconcile your books to the fact that the bank gave you, right? You reconcile your books to what it really is, okay? Now, I want to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul continues with this subject of reconciliation. And he says in verse 17, 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ. He didn't say if any man wants to. He didn't say if any man has a great desire to. He says, if any man be in Christ, that's conditional, isn't it? It's conditional on a man being positioned in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's the cause and the effect. The cause is being in Christ. How you get in Christ? God had to put you there. That's the cause. What's the end of being a new creature? That's the effect of being in Christ. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. He's talking about all them things that are new, right? If you're in Christ and you're a new creature, all the things that are new, He did. All things are of God who hath, He says, He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Now that's pretty simple, ain't it? How'd you get reconciled to God? Jesus Christ done it. That's pretty simple, ain't it? How'd you get reconciled? Jesus done it. And here's the kicker. He says, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, and this is it. This is the ministry of reconciliation Paul's going to talk about. That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Hallelujah. Because remember, Christ died while we were yet what? Sinners. He didn't impute that to the people that He reconciled, did He? Hallelujah. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You know, you could misread that and say He's committed unto us the work of reconciliation. That's not true. Who did the work of reconciliation? Christ did. He's given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. What's ministry? What does minister mean? It means to take something and dispense it out. That's what a ministry is. To dispense out what you've been given. Like those ministers at where the 5,000 were, 4,000, when they fed the 5,000. Or 4. Whichever one. I get mixed up. What did they do? Jesus, they said, we just got a little bit, Lord. We just got a few loaves and 2 fishes. And He said, make them to sit down. And He said, now you give it out to the people. That's the ministry. You give it out to the people. And He said, and every time they kept on giving it out, every time they reached in the basket, always some in there to give somebody. That is the ministry of reconciliation that ministers have. Now, He's not done. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Do you know reconciliation is also, it's an accounting term, but also means to change. To take something and to change something, to exchange something. of equal value. That was, I guess it was equal in value. If it took the blood of his son to pay for it, it must, the sins must have cost a dear amount. You think about that. You think about how much your sins, just yours, cost. And you had no ability, you had no amount to pay the price, because the price for your sins was too hefty. Too hefty. If there was an exchange, an equal exchange, and Christ suffered, the Son of God, a perfect and sinless Lamb, with the precious blood of Christ, then your sins were costly, very expensive. And He exchanged that expense for His righteousness. And he applied that to you. Now, he says we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative of the country where he resides. Right? I mean, there's not going to be a citizen of China be an official spokesman or ambassador from America. That don't make sense, does it? And what's an ambassador's job? An ambassador's job is not to tell, not to take his own thoughts and ideas to the country that he's sent to. He takes the thoughts and ideas and messages from the authority of his own country to deliver messages. That's what an ambassador does. And an ambassador does not make, his job is not to go to another country and to make them citizens of the country that he's from. That's not an ambassador's job. That wouldn't make sense, would it? Paul says we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Christ. My citizenship is in glory. And he's given, he's entrusted me as being an ambassador for him. What a weight. What a weight. Weighs heavy on my soul sometimes. He says, Paul, you tell the story. I'm telling it today. He says, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. That means instead of Christ up here preaching His gospel to you, He sent me to do it. And I'm up here, and this is my message today. Be ye reconciled to God. Does God, is He inconsistent? He just said He reconciled you. I preached the whole time on God making the first move in reconciling you to Himself. Is He negating what He said when He said, be ye reconciled to God? No. What He's saying is, God reconciled you to Himself. Now, you be reconciled to the fact that God reconciled you. That's my message to you today, is you be reconciled to the fact that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins and you be reconciled to God. You be reconciled to what God did. You alter your books to what He said He did. You balance your books by saying, calling the bank and saying, okay, what's my balance? God said that the balance is paid in full and you're reconciled to me. I'm sovereign. I'm the Almighty God of heaven. And you be reconciled to the fact that you're mine. And you act like it. And you justify that by faith. And you walk in love to me. And you put down all these wrathful things as children of wrath. You put that aside. And you take the love that I've given you. And now you live in freedom. That's the reconciling message of the gospel, friends. And if you want to be reconciled to God, you give your heart to Him. I'm telling you, you give your life to Him if you want to be reconciled to God. God reconciled you and that can't be undone. But I tell you what, if you want to live in freedom, you walk in reconciliation to Him and you balance your books by what God told you in your heart that He's already done and what the preacher says as an ambassador of Christ. You be reconciled to God. If you've got that idea, if God's told you that your books are balanced and that He's reconciled you to Himself and you need to balance your books to Him, you come down and you join the church and you declare to God that I've balanced my books with you and I'm going to live every day with my new balance as being free. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. And I'm not going to ask you to come be baptized. The Bible says that He commanded them to be baptized. I'm going to tell you that God commands you to be baptized. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.